Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 51. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
it's your boy, Ken.
Yes, it's me. And you guys are angry about it. Oh my God, I make y'all feel bad. Well, this will not take long.
We back
like cook crack. You already know what time it is. This is Chop Soccer Podcast. Let's get in the center circle. Weekend games, transfers, rumors, all that sort of good stuff. My guy Ken Kimber, what did you catch?
So it's middle of the week when we're recording. So I caught Champions League. Which was dope. I caught Tuesday and Wednesday because we'll break the fourth wall a little bit. Talk to the people. We're recording on Wednesday night, so like I got to see both days of Champions League, like on the highlights or whatever. I watched Arsenal get that one, and that felt good, bro. You will not believe. What like the rush of emotion was like in the bar, like when we won that game. Shout out to Peter, the old white dude who's like the oldest English person at our bar. He kind of like, you know, he's kind of the old guy that's been watching our Arsenal games forever. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker shed a tear. Okay, I watched some other odds and ends, but yeah, that was really about it. What'd you catch that stuck out?
Not much that really stuck out outside of the Champions League stuff. I didn't catch Tuesday's games, but I did watch NYCFC versus Dallas in MLS.
Okay.
That was a 3-3 draw. Like I said on Twitter a few days ago or a week ago, NYCFC is so paper, man. Like, I don't even know how the rest of the season is going to play out. I actually put a poll up too, because I wanted to see what people were feeling about if NYCFC will miss the playoffs for the first time since the very first season, because the East is so tight right now. There's like a maximum of like 5 points between everybody between 3 and like 9. So if NYCFC doesn't pull it together to close out the rest of this season, they could very well find themselves below the playoff line with everybody else getting better while we are kind of stagnant. Like, we've played some good football, and like by stats, we look like, you know, at any given moment we could beat anybody, but none of that shit matters. The results matter. And if you don't pull the results come playoff time, it could be very different for you. So we'll see what happens. It was a fun game. I was entertained. I was annoyed that I had, again, to listen to this one on the radio, but it is what it is. So there was that. And then today I caught basically the first half of Manchester City versus Leipzig in the Champions League. I already saw that going the way it was going. Manchester City was dogging them. That finished 6-3. And then my wife was watching PSG versus Club Brugge. So there was that. So I was kind of in between those games. So that was all I really caught. I want to try to catch more this week, but we'll see how time actually works out, because the way it used to be is not the way it is. Short corners this week. Away. I can't. Oh, man, forgive me for that, because I'm thinking about that broadcaster that said UEFA, so now I can't even pronounce UEFA. UEFA is apparently, they have it out for Ajax. They banned the three little birds that were on the back of the Ajax third kit, which is super popular in world soccer right now. And they also banned them from like having names removed from their regular shirts. So they're saying that this ban is because of UEFA rules. What are your thoughts on this? Is this some bullshit, or does it actually make sense?
I mean, it's very letter of the law, you know, because the actual law is that, like, you only get the logo, a clothing sponsor, or a sleeve sponsor, right?
Real Madrid had a big-ass dragon on the joint.
Yeah, but I feel like that was a little different.
How?
Because it wasn't as connected to anything as this is.
Dragon being no. Black.
Basically, I mean, you know, like, for real. Okay,
it's a reference to a song, bro. It's not even like a person. Like, you obviously, you know, it has Rastafari influence, Jamaican influence, Bob Marley influence. It's a reference to the song Three Little Birds. But even that, it's like they didn't. It's so not literal that y'all definitely went to make this some shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is really what happens when you smoke weed and hang around with Black people a lot. Oh, man. Oh,
hell nah.
Yeah, bro. Because, I mean, like, it stands for something different. It means, like, it's really easy for people to attach themselves to Bob Marley and, like, you know, his, I don't want to say his political platform, but also his, like, image,
mm-hmm.
than it is for people to actually, like, deal with the ramifications of shit. And for a lot of these old motherfuckers, like, they weren't really cool with Bob Marley. Like, you know what I mean? Because, I mean,
he was anti-establishment.
Yeah. On a, like, you know, on his most, like, you know, on his most basic sense, like, you know, once you really start digging into it and you start getting to, like, his reviews on, like, colonialism and, like, things that were happening regional here, because you got, like, Jamaica and Cuba, like, you know, basically around this same time going through, like, you know, a shared experience in that way, like, yeah. You know, being very anti-establishment in very different ways, but still kind of on the same, like, you know, side of the political platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, they'll let you sing your little songs or whatever, but, like, you know, you're not putting that on the soccer jersey.
Oh, whatever, man.
But to be fair, though, they did get our boys with that, too.
With what?
The same thing, the same rule.
Venezia had
two logos, so they made us either take, because we don't have a shirt sponsor. So what we did was we put the badge on the top, and then if you look across of it, it says Venezia on all of them, right? Well, if it has Venezia across the front, it doesn't have a badge. So they dinged us with, like, a different variation of the rule, but
yeah, whatever, man. That's stupid as hell, but it's all a money game, right? It's all a shell game for the money. So they making sure, like, don't be taking up space for ad dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty ridiculous. But speaking of ad dollars on shirts, Inter Miami have revealed their first ever jersey sponsor. I had actually forgotten that Inter Miami did not have a jersey sponsor. I've never heard of XBTO, but here we are. They are the shirt sponsor. And it actually doesn't look bad on the shirt. The logo isn't too intrusive. It's in pink, and then it's lettering XBTO. Not too shabby, not great. But, yeah, good for Miami fans. I hope they can invest in this and make a little money on the side of this. What you think about it?
This is terrifying.
Why?
Because, man, we're talking about cryptocurrency, right? Like, we're not talking about, like, regular fiat money here.
Right.
Right. So, like, the way you can, like, valuate, like, you know, different things, Like, and I know it's all like math or like digital currency, but like you're dealing with funny money a lot of the times, right?
It's all funny money.
I think this is like a good look for Inter Miami in terms of like having a corporate sponsor that can like put money into the club via the sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's terrifying to me what that means for like the valuation of the team and what MLS clubs are going to be valued at, like moving forward, depending on like, you know, the size deals they're able to like, you know, bring in. Because mm-hmm. this really opens the market.
I mean, Garber is still going to need them bucks. So, I mean, it's still a traditional fiat deal, but you bring in the additional element of where their funding comes from. And that valuation is different, but at the end of the day, it's still got to get converted at some point. So,
yeah, but what I wonder about is like how much I wonder about how much this shoots up the price of like other deals or similar deals.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yeah, this is definitely going through the roof. Like sponsorships are definitely about to get more expensive in MLS.
Hey, that's kind of been the name of the game.
Yeah.
And our final short corner for this week, the NWSL has suspended ticket sales for the championship game. They're going to announce a new date as soon as it is set. I don't know what that means. Are they still going to play at 9 a.m.? We're going to find out. Ken, give us your hottest take on this. Speculate away, my friend.
They're moving the game.
They need to move the game.
I think that that's what's happening. They're trying to work out a deal either to move the time of the game or move the actual location itself. And I'm pretty sure location itself is like what they would really like to do.
Only to a, that would be the easiest fix for the time.
Yes. Because you could have the game, you could still have the game at noon. Like theoretically having a noon kickoff isn't like, you know, that isn't a bad thing. Right. It would be a crunch, but you could have a noon kickoff. You want to have a noon kickoff on the East Coast. You don't want to have it broadcasting starting at noon on the East Coast and then play it somewhere else, because then you're like losing time, essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think moving the game, they're probably trying to find somewhere on the East Coast.
Hey, listen, Red Bull Arena taking everybody dollars. So,
yeah,
like y'all could go to Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, or like go to the Benz, or like, I know they don't want to play on turf, but yeah. I mean, like still
that's playing gonna be a big ticket too.
Yeah, but still playing in the Benz, like that would be dope. Like, you know, see if you could play in the Orange Bowl or something.
And I love the way they're able to close the Benz down.
Yeah.
Oh, what about Nashville's joint?
Yeah. Nashville's would be dope. Louisville's would be dope.
We'll see what happens. They definitely needed to pivot and figure out a better time. So whatever they need to do that, I hope they can sort it out, because it should have never been like this in the first place. I don't know how they... Oh, I don't think they didn't know that, but I think they thought that fans would just kind of be like, oh, that sucks. But yeah, NWSL championship.
Yeah.
And then they saw in practice, everybody was like, oh, hell nah. So.
Low key, yeah. I'd bump it back a day and put it on instead of 60 minutes. Like going out of Yo, I didn't mean for that to be as funny as that sounded. My bad.
That shit is hilarious. Instead of six, yo, that's one of the longest running series in the history of television.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
oh man,
it's not like you're canceling it. You're just taking it off for a Sunday for the women's soccer championship game, you know, that you can talk about all afternoon during the NFL games, because that's the way broadcasting works.
Yeah.
Right. Like, one of the things I fundamentally think that, like, is misunderstood about television games a lot of the times is you want to be, like, you want to have a fall winter season.
Right.
Because you want to be talked about when the other sports are talked about. Right.
Right. Right.
Like, when you're a summer league, like, that's why they call it the dog days of baseball, right? Because ain't nobody talking about that shit. Nobody, like, I mean, unless you're like baseball is a very local economy type thing, right? So, like, you're not getting a lot of, like, you know, chatter, like, especially in the age of social media, like, you know, because you're the one that all eyeballs are on, but all eyeballs aren't on you.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like people are continuously watching sports. So you want to be in the, like, content loop where, like, a football highlight comes on, then a soccer highlight comes on, then a basketball highlight comes on. Like, yeah. you see what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
Because that's how you pick up those common eyes.
Yeah. So, there's still a lot of work to do as far as, you know, making this game stick in the United States. So all that will come in due time. Hopefully they will sort out how to get us there sooner rather than later, but it definitely takes time. So, you know, fair play until then. Saucer Toss is back this week. We have two shirts to look at. The first one I'm very much interested to hear your thoughts on. This is from a team that otherwise I would not know about or really hear about, but Newport County has a new third shirt. It's already sold out. It's based off a collaboration with a UK comedy hip hop group called Goldie Lookin' Chain. And it also clearly has some Burberry influence. Can Saucer Toss on the shirt?
Lord demand them.
Bro, what?
What? You gotta laud them. Gotta laud demand them. Like, yeah, we give them a sauce. We will air them this. I mean, they're basically just stealing our shit. So, like, big ups to them. Like, you know, it looks all right. Like, I know Newport County from playing FIFA. Like, I don't really have, like, you know, a commentary on, like, you know, the club or anything like that.
Yeah, so, yeah. I have zero commentary on that, nor do I care. I'm just talking about the drip.
Yeah, and the drip is all right.
Yeah, I'm gonna sauce this one. This is saucy. One, I like Hummel shirts.
Yeah.
Two, the Burberry influence and throwback to, you know, a local UK thing, Goldie Lookin' Chain. That's fire. Colorway is dope. Sleeves are a little bit of a miss for me, but I like that they did break up the pattern and not go like full nutcase with this.
Yeah.
And do it on the sleeves as well. But the sleeves are a little bit off to me. I'm not sure what they should be instead, but it is a little weird. Chest sponsor, cool enough. No idea what for this is. Obviously some sort of residential business service, whatever. Insurance maybe. I don't know. But yeah, this shirt is sauce. I could definitely, and you got to like go full nutcase with it. Like get the whole matching, quote unquote matching, Burberry bucket hat. You know what I mean? Or a crossbody bag or something. This is pretty dope, man. Good job to this team. and whoever put this idea together.
The one thing I don't like about it is they did that thing where they put the print on the front and don't put it on the back. That's probably the only thing I don't like about it. But yeah, this is saucy. Like, I would wear this. I actually like the sleeves. The sleeves are probably the only reason I would wear this.
You think it balances it out? Hey, yo. Oh my God, man.
All right, I'm going to have to bleep that out.
All right. The second shirt we have is Arsenal Team Geist jersey. So Adidas has been, you know, kind of digging in their archives, bringing back retro inspired designs. And the Team Geist is throwing it back to 2006. Thierry Henry era, that maroon, burgundy, whatever you want to call it, with the O2 sponsor. This is a sauce or a toss, Ken. You are the Arsenal guy.
I don't know what this is. This is ass. Like, no.
Hold you on. You can't dial it back. You already let it go.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This is ass. Like, where do you want me to start? Like, first, like, this is in no way, like, this is in no way, like, any type of comparable, like, design to, like, the 2005-2006, like, home and away shirts. Because I had,
the colorway it is. I mean, there's only so much they can do. That was a Nike shirt.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could still do better than this, because this is just, like, I believe if you look up a 2006 France or 2006 Spain jersey, this is what that looks like. Yes, there we go. This was the away jersey. This is basically the same design for away jersey, 2006 Spain, or Germany or France, all the Adidas kits basically. So I mean, like, the colorway is the same, but no, this thing doesn't have a collar. Like, the crest isn't centered.
It can't. That would be Nike on the ass. Like, hey, you didn't do that.
Yeah, but they did all the other shit. Like, they were able to go through and do all the other prints and shit. Why couldn't they do it here?
Because they could remix the prints. Like, this one, I don't know. But in any case, this is not exclusive to Arsenal. They're also doing it for Real Madrid. You know, they're just going to their own archive and bringing back, you know, whatever periods for whatever reason. It just happens so that in the window that they're working from, Arsenal had a Nike shirt at the time. So they have to figure out a way to navigate around that. And this is the way they did it. You bring in the color scheme, but our design work from that era.
Yeah, well, this is ass.
Oh, it's a full toss for Kid. Yeah. I think I'm going to toss it as well, because it just... that wasn't what you were doing for Arsenal at that time. Like, I understand you're there now and you want to, you know, use your biggest properties in this scheme. You have to, but it just doesn't work out historically. So that's kind of one of the things, as sponsors move around, things change and rearrange. You run into situations like this and you just got to sort it out. So this is the conclusion they came to. It's a pass for me. But that Real Madrid joint is kind of nice.
Yeah, because they were probably Adidas at that time.
Oh, yeah. They've been Adidas for a long time.
Yeah, so I mean, like, they could have just let Arsenal live. They could have, like, they could have chose somebody else.
I mean, as the coin goes, Arsenal is too big a property to leave on the side for this.
Everybody likes to talk shit about Arsenal until it comes to talking about the bank.
Hey. It is at the halftime. What do you have in your musical bank for episode 51?
This is a new throwback. So the way streaming works now is like it's really dependent on intellectual property rights, right? And Aaliyah, RIP, moment of silence for Aaliyah. Okay. Her music was actually tangled up in the courts for a really long time, wasn't available on streaming. So about a month and a half ago, they like finally came to some agreement, probably because there was just too much money out there to really be arguing over the rights anymore.
Right.
Like, especially with the way streaming works now and just like how much money you're able to pull in from, like, you know, if you're one of those artists. Right. Yeah. So, like, you know, a lot of her music finally, you know, is being released. And for about a month and a half, they've been releasing albums. So, the first album they released was Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, which was her first album.
Mm-hmm.
When people reference like her relationship with R. Kelly,
yuck.
This is the time that is mainly like her time with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then she released One in a Million, which I think was released a couple weeks ago too. Yeah, it had to be, because Aaliyah, which is the album that probably like shot her out of here, was released on Friday.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, that's my at the half. Aaliyah. Here, hold on, let me give you some of the bops you would recognize. So yeah, like We Need a Resolution, Rock the Boat, More Than a Woman, I Care for You. Oh man, yep.
Bangers.
Try Again, What If. Yeah, those are like, this was a time.
Oh my god, when that Rock the Boat video came out, I was like, and that was, you know, the posthumous release too, like I think that was the one she went to shoot when it all went south. So yeah, super unfortunate, but you know, that's what happened. History is what it is.
Well, just thinking that was just thinking that was 2001 too.
Yeah.
Like 2001 were like crazy years.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That whole window was kind of wild. I'm also going to dig in the archive, but you know, quote unquote new release. Also dropped Friday was the 25th anniversary deluxe edition of Outkast's AT Aliens. So that was fun to see, to jump back in there. I love, again, I listen on Tidal, so I don't, do other services have the animated covers?
No.
Oh, wow. So on Tidal, you know, some of the album covers, they're like animated. They move and do all type of stuff. So they're like short videos, but it's the same album cover. So, you know, if you know the Outkast AT Aliens cover, it's like a comic book. So on Tidal, the AT Aliens is almost like 3D looking and they're moving and the background is like shimmering and stuff. It's pretty dope. Definitely some major, major bangers on here. Jazzy Bell, Elevators, Over the Woods, 13th Floor and Growing Old. Man, this album is so incredible. The deluxe edition also brings in a bunch of instrumentals as well. So if you think you can rap, you can jump on a classic, put your bars on there, but please don't do that.
No.
y'all not fucking with Big Boy and Andre 3000.
please so, do not like.
Yeah, I do not want to hear your damn remix. Please don't put that shit out there. But there it is. That's my pick for At the Half this week. ATLian's 25th anniversary deluxe edition. Get into that. Major, major bangers. Foul Play is back this week, and we're going to have to discuss the situation that was at hand last night. Fat Joe versus Ja Rule on Versus. You know we love Versus here. This was a good one. They kind of been bringing it back, man. I was like fully tuned out for a while, and now they are getting the rhythm back, and the Versus have actually been really, really fun to watch again. This was must-see TV, but let's break down for Foul Play. Is anybody getting carded for last night's events?
You as a New Yorker probably have some different gripes with Fat Joe.
Who said I have gripes with Fat Joe?
I mean, do you have any gripes with Ja Rule? I mean, actually, I feel like, and I felt like this for a while, and I think last night gives me the space to say this without getting heckled like by the streets. But the streets owe Ja Rule an apology.
Facts.
Like, and the streets have owned Ja Rule an apology for some time. I mean, you could probably go all the way back to this 50 Cent shit.
That's on him though.
No, because I think the streets did Ja Rule wrong in that battle. I don't live in New York, so like I obviously have a different opinion. But like I think the streets actually kind of did Ja Rule wrong in that joint. I understand that 50 was the more hood dude or whatever, but No, like I think Ja Rule had a lot of early street cred that I think a lot of people forgot. And just because he was kind of like the first dude to kind of like really get out here and be singing on records, like Ja Rule has been an innovator and he's not guilty in that Firefest shit. So
are you caping for Ja Rule on Firefest? Cape for Ja Rule for the verses for sure. Firefest, not so much.
He didn't touch any of the money.
Oh man, are you giving any cards out?
Yeah, I'm giving Fat Joe a yellow. I might find another yellow to give him. I don't know what Fat Joe was doing last night. Like, it's very clear that he understood what was happening at the Dipset, like, Lox battle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he approached this battle in the right way.
Not at all.
Like, if I was Fat Joe in this battle, and what I thought Fat Joe was going to do was I thought Fat Joe was going to try to be Mr. Bitches. And, like, he did not try to be Mr. Bitches. He tried to, like, I guess, like, out-thug Ja Rule.
It wasn't even that, but go ahead, finish.
But, like, I don't know, because Ja Rule just has so many cuts, like, you can't fuck around. And he has cuts, like, through, like, he has whatever you want. Like, you gotta put some respect on Ja Rule. Like, you can't forget his hood card. And that means a lot. Like, when you, like, are going song for song. But yeah, Fat Joe gets a yellow for that. He definitely should have came better prepared. As I recap the night, I might give him another yellow somewhere along the line. So what are your first cards?
Fat Joe, straight red. Get him the fuck out of here.
What?
Yes, sir.
Rock Fontaine.
Listen, Fat Joe had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he have an opportunity, he should have had an understanding of how to play, not play himself, but position himself and his rapping ability against Ja Rule, regardless of how big one record is versus another record, right? because he was in the room, had a great post-show recap, whole bunch of quotables that we're using on this pod right now on the soundboard. He was in there. And I thought that he learned and internalized enough from how Jadakiss handled that versus and would be able to incorporate that into what he does and beat Ja Rule on the night. In practice, it was made apparent that while he was there and he got it, he just does not have that thing that Jadakiss has. Nowhere close to it. Because he got up there trying to play the fucking pocket watcher role. Like, I got money. Ja Rule doesn't have money. That is the corniest shit you could possibly do, bro. It's about the music. The music. Wardrobe change? 20, 30 minute intermission so you can go change into a Louis outfit because we supposed to be impressed by that shit. Bringing out a Birkin bag for Ashanti in the middle of the verses because we supposed to be impressed by that shit. That has nothing to do with the music, bro. At all. Straight red for Fat Joe for being super corny on the night, for having to apologize to people. Like, I don't think he meant anything by that at all. You know, I think, as, you know, Remy was saying in his defense, at the time he was saying those things, he didn't know who was backstage. He was just saying whatever. But on the flip side of that same coin, you know he's bringing out people. You know you bringing out people. You shouldn't have been saying anything negative about whoever might have been backstage, because that's just out of pocket. So he's dead wrong for that, straight red. I'm also giving Ja Rule a yellow card, bruh.
For what?
Ja Rule gets a yellow.
For what?
He gets a yellow for that "when I cry, you cry." That shit, bruh, that's a straight yellow.
For what?
Yo, you got, because he had the momentum. He was whipping Fat Joe's ass, and then he dragged the show to a halt trying to do some live show stadium shit that ain't nobody in there for that, bro. That was not necessary. People know the song. And if you just went into the song and let the people jump into that on their own, that's much better. But you trying to argue with Fat Joe and get that shit off, and it's taking you 2-3 minutes to even explain to everybody what you're trying to have happen, bruh, that was pulled straight from 1990 whatever, and it just should not have been a part of that verse. You get a yellow card for that. You get a yellow card also, not a second yellow card, but an all-inclusive yellow card for some other corny shit he was saying on the night.
You said all-inclusive.
All-inclusive yellow card. You just get one oversized yellow card for all the goofy shit you was doing. But yeah, man, Ja Rule won it, but they were both corny as hell to me, man. It just, Ja Rule, as far as the music, he took that W. I also thought that it would really be nice to see Remy Ma against somebody that would fit. Remy Ma doesn't have the big, big hits, like the number of big, big hits. She has some huge hits, but not enough of them. But bar for bar, is no woman wants to stand up there with her. Because if Remy can put together a solid 20 and bring that Jadakiss-type energy to how she raps, it could be a long night for somebody that they wasn't expecting.
So, two things. I'll get straight to the Remy point first, because the second one's like kind of a general point. I think Remy could do it if she went the route that I think Fat Joe should have gone. And that should have been like heavy on the features.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he has like more current features that he waited like way too late in the game to go to. And, you know, like, he didn't position his early records the way he should have.
Right.
Right. Like, all that cornball shit aside, because, I mean, I knew when I put him on the soundboard, I was like, okay, like, you know, he's definitely everything is a rollout.
Mm.
Everything is a rollout. And right. a lot of the shit that, like, people are doing out here makes sense when you realize that everything is a rollout.
Right,
like
right.
everything that Drake was doing, he was doing because he had fucking an album on the way, and he just right. had to keep people fucking invested. Everything Kanye's been doing, because you notice fucking as soon as Kanye's music came out, like fucking we haven't heard a peep from him.
Right.
Right. right. Like same thing with Drake. But I mean, it's only been like a week or so. But I mean, like, you know, like I don't think the antics keep up. So like everything's a rollout. And I heard an interview today with Ja Rule, and it was day of, right? So it was from yesterday. I heard it today, and he didn't sound bothered at all.
Yeah, because he whooped Fat Joe ass.
No, but this was before.
Oh.
This was before the verses, but like it wasn't released till today.
Oh, it was from yesterday in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, like I don't know, like, I don't know if I can give Ja Rule that yellow, but I think I definitely have to give Fat Joe another yellow for the overall corny, even though him and Ja Rule were just about the same amount of corny. I feel like it was a little worse, like, you know, if Fat Joe's doing all this walking it back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to go round for round. Like,
nah, hell nah. And you know what else made me feel bad, too? I felt bad for Mayer. You know who Mayer is?
No.
So Mayer is a chill ass dude. He's an old like club owner, whatever. He's a New York City outside guy. Uh-huh. He's outside. This motherfucker is a sneaker legend. He's one of the greatest collectors as far as sneakers go. Bar none in the world. Dude has an absolutely obscene amount of sneakers, a bunch of custom stuff that Nike has gifted him, but he's not like in your face. He's not quote unquote famous by his own standards. He's like, I am not famous. He's like, the shit that Nike gifts me, like, I don't even know how I get this stuff, but I just stay myself and I get love for that. And I respect that a lot. I've met him a couple times, and he's like super chill, super humble. I felt bad for him, man. I'm like, yo, you standing up there and your man is getting his ass whooped, and you just got to stand there and watch it. And you watching him be corny. That's the thing for me. Like, I know Mayer is not that type of corny. Like, Mayer got paper like that, but he would never flex on somebody like that. That would not be his main aim. And he could do all of that. I just cannot understand why Fat Joe decided that he was going to take the money angle. What the fuck was he thinking, bro? Like, that just makes no sense to me. He had an opportunity to big up himself, big up Terror Squad, big up the work that he's done for other people, and, you know, just have a great New York moment. But he completely blew it doing some corny New York shit. And I just do not understand.
Well, one thing I would like to just generally know about Versus now, because it kind of seems like their model is the same, is like how in cahoots these like things are, like how in cahoots the artists are. Because now, like, especially as long as you can do like bubble type, and like proof of vaccination type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we're going to see more concerts in this way. Because, I mean, that's essentially what it was. And that's what it could have like really, really been last night, was just like a giant concert. Because they have a lot of collab records. So, I mean, like, you know, depending, that's why I want to know like what the collaboration on these things are like. Like, is it very like individualistic? Like, depends on the show. Like, is there a certain like production behind it? Like, it's going to be really interesting to see that moving forward, because it's clear that that's what their model is going to be. It's going to be like like, you know, we're not going to see people in two different locations ever again.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a show.
Run of play this week. We got FIFA 22, man. It's about time to spend a whole bunch of money on the next generation of soccer. Yep. It's right around the corner. I believe the 22nd is a release date.
22nd and 23rd. Yeah,
I hope y'all got y'all pre-orders in. Not because I particularly love this game, but because the quote-unquote eFootball is the new name, looks like complete garbage. So how I wanted to avoid Foot 22 for this year, I'm going to be right back in the thick. So right now, player ratings are being revealed. This is always a fun discussion to have. Right now, we have ratings releases for the top 22 in La Liga and the top 22 in the Premier League. So let's jump in the FIFA 22 best Premier League players. The lowest rated in the Premier League is an 86 for these top 22. So that is pretty damn impressive. That means there are going to be a lot of cards, as usual, in the Premier League that you can use to build your teams out early. They're going to cost you a lot of damn coins, that's for sure. But if you got the coins or the actual dollars to spend to make the coins, you're going to have some fun. Lowest rated here, we have Joao Cancelo from Manchester City, right back, 86 rated. Ken, is he going to be on your team?
Maybe, yeah. He scored today in their Champions League game. So.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, first question. What system do you have?
Xbox. You already know this.
I might get a Xbox.
Let's go.
Because I don't like the PlayStation model of having to have PlayStation Plus to play online games.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to be out of there.
My man, welcome to the dark side.
So,
we got a whole bunch of players here. Matter of fact, rather than go through each player, tell me your top five for your team out of these top 22.
Okay, so let's see. So it looks like it's heavy on, it's kind of light on midfielders. Like, there's some good midfielders that I definitely want out of here, but it's kind of light on midfielders and heavy on attackers. Yeah, just heavy on attackers.
Yeah, so, Premier League, so there's that.
Yeah. I would probably, in my top five, if I had to pick a five aside, okay. I would take, out of my keepers, you have Alisson, Ederson, and Lloris. I feel like Ederson can play the best with his feet. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all kind of the same quality, like, as keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So, his kicking is the best out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's probably the fastest. So, I would take Ederson. Then I would probably go with Conte. Mm-hmm. N'Golo Conte. Then probably go with Bruno Fernandes. Jadon Sancho. And probably I would have to find a struggling to probably Lukaku.
Ooh, okay. Okay. My five, I'm taking Kevin De Bruyne for sure. Without question. I'm going to take Virgil van Dijk. 78 pace, 91 defending, 84 physical. Yes, sir. Need that. I'm taking Allison as my keeper because he's got 90 positioning, 86 hands versus Ederson's 88 positioning and 82 hands. So, yeah, give me that. I'm also going to grab Raheem Sterling. Yes, sir. Big Monting and Paul Pogba. Give me that.
Okay. I mean, that's... I mean, you can't really argue, like, you can't really make an argument against most of these cards.
Yeah, they're all good cards.
I think it, for me, it really just depends on, like, how much I feel like I would have to pay for them.
Oh, Prem cards are way overpriced, always.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking for value in the market in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like... If you get a CR7 card or Harry Kane, those are going to be super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Lukaku might be the best striker in the world in, like, you know, that big target man build right now.
Yeah.
Unless you're going with, like, Lewandowski, but... a lot of these guys just seem like they are either good value or bad value.
Yeah. And the Prem for a foot, it's a lot of bad value.
Yeah.
Especially because cards there get replaced so quickly,
mm-hmm.
and so often, and they're all, you know, tens of thousands of coins, if not hundreds of thousands, and then, you know, millions for your, you know, top tier cards. So if you're looking for value, that's definitely where we want to be, which is our next set, La Liga, top 22 players. Lowest rated here in the set is 84, and that is David Alaba, who's now on Real Madrid. And the top rated are both goalkeepers, Ter Stegen at 90 and Jan Oblak at 91. I almost always have Jan Oblak on my team. I almost always play a La Liga squad, and that is because... much better value for quality players than in the Premier League. And I'm not trying to play that much. Like, I want to jump in. I want to play with some good players. I want to enjoy the game. I don't want to be grinding it out, trying to get coins to buy the top rated players in the Premier League. So who is your five-a-side in La Liga?
With this five-a-side, I would probably go with Courtois as my keeper.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't think it's on here, but I think he's the tallest keeper.
Okay.
Out of the three. Benzema next to him. Oh, wow, this is close. Alaba, definitely. And then Frankie De Jong and... oh, Depay. There we go.
Yes, sir.
There we go. That's a good five.
Yeah, not bad at all. My five, I'm taking... this is my league, so this is super easy picks for me. Jan Oblak and goal, without question. Casemiro, CDM. He has only 65 pace, but that 86 defending and 90 physical. Yes, sir. He's knocking somebody ass off the ball. I'm also taking Frankie de Jong, same as you. 81 pace, 77 defending, 88 dribbling, 78 physical, 85 passing. Solid early game card. Luka Modric, taking that one as well. 73 pace, 76 shooting, 89 passing, 88 dribbling, 72 defending, 66 physical, but he plays much, much better. You can put him pretty much anywhere on the pitch and get good use out of him. I am also taking Depay. Is that five? Am I at four? Yeah,
Oblak. De Jong. Yes, that's five.
De Jong, Modric, and Depay. Yeah, I'm taking Depay. Only because Depay is new to La Liga. So it would be fun to play with him, and he's in full Kim. Not that it can't be done, but I've never really looked outside of La Liga for players. I always keep it strictly within the league with, you know, very few exceptions. This year, because it's late game, I have some team of the year stuff. I have an MLS player in my squad. I have a Serie A player in my squad. So right now it's just, you know, getting great cards for cheap, which I don't do in the regular season because lots of coins. But yeah, that would be my five from this top 22 set. I might switch out somebody for Carvajal possibly, but overall that would be my squad. A lot of these cards are really good. Oyarzabal, I hate saying that name. He was great this season with some of his special cards. Carvajal had some incredible special cards. Gomez too, he had some late game cards. David Silva's record breaker card this season is still in my squad. I love that card so much. So yeah, La Liga has been great. I'm excited to see top 22s from other leagues upcoming. So I'm sure we'll see Serie A soon, Ligue 1 soon. Yeah, I think they'll probably do one every day until the game releases. We're at the 15th now. So yeah, that's the top 22 from La Liga and the Premier League in FIFA 22. I am kind of excited actually for FIFA 22. Again, I was looking forward to for the longest time playing eFootball, but seeing how they've gone free to play and basically gutted that game and they're doing something completely different right now. It's not what I was waiting for, but FIFA 22 is apparently trying to really improve the game in many ways and like create an actually new experience for this year. So let's see how it actually plays out. I will catch y'all on Xbox from the 22nd on. If you want to play, get at me. I'm on Xbox, Roxfontaine, number one, no spaces. Let's get into it. It is headed home time. Ken, what words of wisdom or funny anecdotes do you have for us this week?
I don't know. I thought I was going to come in here and really talk some shit. But, you know, growth.
Growth.
Growth. That will be my head at home. Keep growing, everyone. Just keep working hard. Yeah, and just hang in there.
Word up. My head at home this week is eat better food. I don't really know how to explain that to y'all other than to say I have been improving my diet. I never ate poorly, but I've been taking special note of my diet and including more fruits, veggies, all that sort of thing. And I feel great about it. And on top of that, it's pushing me to explore more interesting and flavorful recipes that are based on plant-filled meals. And it's really, really cool. So tonight, I went to a restaurant and I had a vegetarian offering and it was called squash, spaghetti squash. So it was like squash cut up like spaghetti and it was just other roasted vegetables on top and tomato sauce. And it was absolutely fantastic, flavorful, filling, didn't feel heavy and sleepy after it. And I thought that was awesome. So I hope y'all are eating better. Get away from all the crappy junk food as much as you can. Eat more fruits, eat more veggies, eat more healthy meals, eat more plant-based items. It's all better for you and humanity in the long term. And that is my head at home. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chop Soccer Podcast episode 51. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and
it's your boy, Ken. The night is dark and full of terrors.
You already know what to do, people. Do all the things that help us grow. Like, comment, share, subscribe, download these episodes because we need it and we appreciate it. If you want to get in the conversation with us, you know where to find us by now. We're on Twitter at Chop Soccer Pod, Instagram at Chop Soccer Pod. If you have comments, suggestions, ideas you want to share, criticisms, send it all to us, chopsoccerpod@gmail.com. And if you want to donate to support the show, help us improve equipment, sound, all that sort of stuff, send cash to paypal.me/chopsoccerpod. Any amount helps. We'd appreciate it. As always, people, we love you, we appreciate you, and you know the vibes.
Good night, Canada.